to understand how this situation developed, where we've got established Salafi jihadi insurgencies across several regions of Africa, we have to look both at the dynamics that led to this situation and the shortcomings in the policy response. So on the causes, we've seen both systemic and acute governance failures that have allowed Salafi jihadi groups to gain footholds. Unfortunately, several governments have not been able to overcome the serious challenges that have prevented them from providing services and security to their entire populations. So if you look at the challenges faced by the Somali government or the Mali government, for example, on the policy response, though, it's clear that a security-forward approach to counterterrorism has not been enough. This approach might win short-term military gains against Salafi jihadi groups and even severely weaken these groups. But the piece that's missing is the governance and development that will actually change the conditions and stop the groups from coming back.
The very rapid fall of Afghanistan to the Taliban is bringing back the nightmarish thought that global jihadi terrorist groups will again find a safe haven where they can reorganize and thrive. It also draws attention to Africa, where jihadi groups have been on the rise. How could the fall of Afghanistan embolden the terrorist groups in Africa?
The Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan is a potential jolt to African Salafi jihadi groups. It's a sign that the strategy that, say, Al-Shabaab in Somalia or JNIM in Mali, it's a sign that their strategies are working. And these groups are already drawing comparisons between themselves and the Taliban. And they'll be only more emboldened now to pressure local governments. They'll also take this as proof positive that the US and other external players can be pushed out over time. Another potential outcome is kind of increasing the competition between Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State as those organizations jockey for leadership of the global movement. That competition can be misleading, though, because it can reduce attacks on other targets initially by turning the groups against each other, but it can also encourage Al-Qaeda or the Islamic State to conduct larger terror attacks to try and outbid each other for recruits.
Are these jihadi groups in Africa really affiliated with Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State group?
Yes, to varying degrees. So for example, if you look at Al-Shabaab in Somalia, Al-Shabaab has been a formal Al-Qaeda affiliate for quite some time now and had an ongoing relationship before that and has gained some of the capabilities it has from other Al-Qaeda groups, for example. There are other organizations that are more loosely connected. Some of the groups in the Sahel, for example, you know, operate at a little bit more distance, but they still kind of follow Al-Qaeda's strategic vision and support the overall agenda. Likewise, for the Islamic State, there's a range of how closely tied various affiliates are to leadership. So the Islamic State West Africa province in Nigeria has been shown to have fairly close ties to Islamic State leadership, whereas some of the groups now active in Eastern and Central Africa are connected through an organizational structure and have received some support, but are generally operating more on their own.
Hopefully, the United States and its allies will be able to reflect on some of the lessons learned in Afghanistan and apply them as they approach their fights against jihadi insurrections in Africa. What could happen if Western nations start seriously cutting their support to African governments in their quest to combat terrorist groups in Africa?
So the Afghanistan experience should teach us about the value of a relatively small footprint in preventing worst case scenarios. And so the risk here is that a rapid drawdown in any of these other theaters could also produce a scenario where Salafi jihadi groups gain a lot of strength very quickly. So while the U.S. absolutely needs to review its counterterrorism approach, it should keep up the light footprint approach for African security forces while doing so. For example, there was a long pause in U.S. airstrikes in Somalia earlier this year, and we did see a growth in Al-Shabaab activity and spread into additional areas during that time. So sustaining the pressure does matter, but the U.S. should be looking to reform its approach to prioritize governance-forward solutions and conflict resolution and using the security piece to buy time and space for these other solutions to take hold and hopefully have a more long-term effect.